ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, titled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy, text number 17. Tanha param punyam asamvritartham akhyanam adhyat Akhyanamatyadbhudayoganishtam. Akhyakhyananta charitopapannam. Parikshitam bhagavata bhiramam. Tat. Therefore. Naha. Unto us. Param, supreme, punyam, purifying, asamvrita artham, as it is, akhyanam, narration, ati, very, adbhuta, wonderful, yoganishtham, compact in bhakti yoga, akhyahi, described, ananta, the unlimited, acharita, activities, upapannam, full of, parikshitam, spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, bhagavata, of the pure devotees, abhyamam, particularly very dear. Translation: thus please narrate to us the narrations of the unlimited, for they are purifying and supreme. They were spoken to Maharaj Parikshit, and they are very dear to the pure devotees, being full of bhakti yoga. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. What was spoken to Maharaj Parikshit and what is very dear to the pure devotees is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is mainly full of the narrations of the activities of the Supreme Unlimited. And therefore, it is the science of Bhakti Yoga or the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, it is para or supreme. Because although it is enriched with all knowledge and religion, it is specifically enriched with the devotional service of the Lord. Tanna param punyam asamvritartham akhyanam atyadbhudayoganishtham akhyakhyananta charitopapannam parikshitam bhagavata bhiramam. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananchana Shalakhya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This verse is a wonderful glorification to Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the sages in Naimisharanya, they are particularly interested in Bhagavatam. And here it is described that Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to devotees. So Srimad Bhagavatam is giving access to devotional service through different aspects. One, by describing the process of devotional service. Then Srimad Bhagavatam is giving wonderful examples of bhakti yogis who practice devotional service. And at the same time, it also gives counter examples who do not follow Bhakti Yoga. Then Srimad Bhagavatam is giving wonderful realizations of devotees who are practicing bhakti. Then Srimad Bhagavatam gives inconceivable connection between different energies of the Lord and the Lord Himself. So Srimad Bhagavatam is complete. It is presenting so many aspects of devotional service about Krishna, His energies, with so many examples. So when we try to see Srimad Bhagavatam, first we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting devotional service, the process of devotional service. So the initial understanding about devotional service is presented in the form of sambandha, in the form of relationship of a jiva to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is just like if you want to work in a company, in a firm, one must know what is his position or what is his role in that company, in that firm. Otherwise it is impossible to work. And as we know, if you want to make a resume, then we have to know the role. And most of the time it is whatever is required, it is made up in the resume. It is matching, it is customized. So when there is a job application, according to the role, the resume is customized. So the point here is that one must know the role, otherwise one cannot function. In fact, when we are actually going through job interviews and when we are trying to get a job, basically we are looking for a master. The material world, not for devotees, but for in the material world, they are saying, I want a master to serve. Here is my degree, here is my piece of paper. And knock on different doors and begging, I need a master to serve. But it is not unconditional, but it is acted as if the relation is unconditional, very much interested in the interest of a particular firm. In that way, one would approach, one would try to get a master and one would try to serve. But back of their mind and back of the mind of the employer, it is very clear that it is just a temporary contract. And as far as you are fulfilling our needs, you are with us. Otherwise, you are not there. So this is very clear. But there is a show of interest in each other. So this is Kami world. Srila Prabhupada, he used to make a lot of jokes out of this. He used to say, now you have got a degree and now you are going and you are begging just like a dog. Prabhupada used to act, you know, acting like a dog. He used to say, you are just like a dog barking at each doorsteps for a master. So this is material existence. So people are proud of their education, but after the education one has to beg for a master. So this is material world. So devotees work, but that's on a different platform and for a different interest altogether. Now, again, coming to the same point, the sambandha, the relation must be known. One is an accountant, one is an IT, one is a project leader, project manager, quality assurance, whatever it is, one must know the role, then one can function. In the same way, whatever devotional service we are performing, let it be chanting, let it be distributing books, let it be giving a lecture, let it be cleaning, let it be cooking, let it be deity worship or managing. If we pick anything, we have to know what is our relation to Krishna, to the Supreme Lord. We have to understand that we are servants of Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly specifies this. Dasan daso bhavitasmi bhuya. Let me again become a servant of your servant. So, having understood this point, one can actually embark on the process of devotional service. And the moment we forget this primary relationship of ours with Krishna, we tend to commit offenses to the service, sevaparat, offenses to the holy name, and offenses to the devotees in general. So this is our position. When we forget our position as a servant, meaning when we forget our relation as a servant, means immediately we understand ourselves as a master. Maybe a small master, maybe not the biggest master, but a small master. We can control a few things. I am a master. So I can control a few people, I can control a few situations. So when we come to this consciousness, then we are prone to commit offenses. So this sambandha, this relation to the Lord, is the essence of chanting. It is the essence of seva. After presenting sambandha, which is there in Srimad Bhagavatam throughout, Srimad Bhagavatam presents the abhideya, the process of devotion service. How we can actually serve the Lord. Just like if you work somewhere, there is a training program where one is trained how to work in a particular company. In the same way, the process of devotion service is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Specifically mentioning the Navanga Bhakti, the 9 limbs of devotion service. Starting from Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandaram, Sakhyam, Dasyam, Atmanivedanam. The 9 process of devotion service is given. So then we know, okay, the whole devotion service is starting from Shravanam, Kirtanam, by hearing and chanting, which will naturally result in remembrance of Krishna. So it can be very difficult to remember Krishna at first, but just by the process of hearing and chanting, Krishna will manifest within the heart. We will be able to think about Krishna while doing service, while chanting, and while worshipping the deity, while speaking about Krishna. One can think about Krishna when there is sufficient hearing and chanting. And as a prerequisite to that, if you are doing some service and if you want to think about Krishna, then one must be an expert in that service, in the sense, not in the sense of being a master, but one should be very proficient, one should be efficient, one should know what one is doing. If one is not efficient and proficient in one service, it is impossible to think about Krishna. So thinking about Krishna, okay, doing how to perfect one service in itself is thinking about Krishna. But if you want to explicitly think about Krishna, or any aspects of Krishna, if that is required, then that service has to be done so well, or we can just easily do that, so there is space in our mind where there is the possibility of thinking about Krishna. So as devotees, first we have to perfect our service in terms of actually doing it properly, with the right consciousness, in the right mood, and in the right speed, and in the way that is required. So that is the first step. Then, when it is combined with hearing and chanting, because we go through the process of hearing and chanting, then naturally thinking about Krishna will come, because we naturally think, for whom are we doing this service? So then the natural thoughts about Krishna would manifest in the mind. So that is the process of devotional service. So that is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. And this process is explained in many parts of Bhagavatam, and Sadhana Bhakti is again described in 11th canto in the Uddhava Gita, where Krishna speaks to Uddhava. There's a whole chapter on devotional service. Then finally, Srimad Bhagavatam presents the conclusions of devotional service, the highest goal of devotional service in terms of prayojana. So we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, prayojana is given in many parts, and in especially in 10th canto, is giving a demonstration how to act perfectly in relation to Krishna in the most perfect spontaneous mood. So that is given in terms of the activities of residents of Vrindavan. So Bhagavatam presents sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. So that is significant of Bhagavatam. And here, the examples are also given about devotees who are followers of Bhakti Yoga, who are Bhakti Yogis. And also there are many counter examples who do not follow Bhakti Yoga. Like we can see so many examples of devotees, even in the first canto. Even the Shavanaka Rishi and all the followers of Shavanaka Rishi. We can see Suta Goswami, we can see Kunti Devi, we can see Bhishma. We can see Arjun. We can see all the Pandavas. We can see the residents of Dwaraka. And as we progress in Srimad Bhagavatam, in further cantos, there are so many examples of exalted devotees who are perfectly acting in relation to Krishna. So there are many examples that is provided by Srimad Bhagavatam. Then there are many counter examples also. Now there are so many demons, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa. So many examples are, they are demons, they do not follow the instructions of Krishna. So there are enough examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. And here, the example right here, we can see who is speaking these verses. This 17 is the last verse in the series. Who is speaking this verse? Exactly, the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. So they are considered the example of devotees who are kanishthas, who are neophytes in the mood of inquisitiveness. They are inquisitive about devotional service. So it is considered there are eligible candidates for devotional service. In Nectar of Devotion, there is a chapter in the beginning, eligibility for devotional service. So these sages of Naimisharanya are considered neophyte devotees as kanishthas who are eligible to perform pure devotional service. So the inquisitiveness, when it is used in connection to Krishna, gave them the qualification to perform pure devotional service. So by this process of asking these questions in connection to Krishna, they became purified because they heard the answers from a pure devotee who is Suta Goswami. So they are examples of kanishthas who are going to be perfected. Now, we cannot see this Kanishtha Adhikaris or Kanishtha Bhagavats as just ordinary. That in itself is a very high standard, because they immediately got perfected just hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Suta Goswami. And Krishna himself addresses these Kanishthas as great. He says, Udara Sarva Eveti. Udara means magnanimous. These devotees, whoever approaches me, they are magnanimous by nature. They are not Kripana, they are Brahmanas. They are magnanimous in quality. So we don't undermine the qualifications of the sages. They are great devotees. And you know, in this conversation we can see, as a matter of pastime, they are becoming perfect. They become pure devotees of the Lord. Then so we saw that Srimad Bhagavatam gives the process of devotional service, giving examples and counter examples of devotees who are practicing devotional service. And most interestingly, Srimad Bhagavatam is revealing the realizations of great devotees, which is the most valuable things. So if you see, if we have a secret, do we reveal that so easily? We don't. If we have a secret of something which is very valuable, and that is the most secret of an individual, one need to have a motivation to reveal that secret. And also, he needs a qualified person who can accept that secret. And here, if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many examples of devotees. They are having their secrets of devotional service. And the most secret in this world is devotional service. It is bhakti. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram Idam Uttamam, Pratyaksha Vagamam, Dharmyam, Susukham, Kartam Aveyam. Raja Vidya, it is a king of knowledge, but at the same time, it is Raja Guhyam. It is the secrets of all secrets. It's a king of secrets. That is bhakti. And for pure devotees, they understand the most valuable thing in their life is bhakti. It is prema dhan. It is the wealth of love for Krishna. And the devotees, as presented in Bhagavatam, they have. And just because of compassion for us, they are revealing their heart. Dharmam tu sakshat nihitam guhayam. Where is the actual devotional service is present? It is in the heart of a pure devotee. So if you try to see now, Krishna consciousness movement is spread all over the world, and it is again spreading all over the world. It is expanding. Where is it coming from? primarily where the whole Krishna consciousness movement is coming from? From where? Sorry? Where is it coming from? From Krishna. Okay, one answer is Krishna. Any other answer? From Goloka Vrindavan. Anything more? Srila Prabhupada. More specifically? Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. From the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Because that is mentioned. Dharmam tu sakshat nihitam guhayam. Nihitam means it is hidden in the heart of a pure devotee. So, if you see the devotion service which is spread, it is coming from the heart of a pure devotee. So there is a discussion given in the scriptures where this devotion service originates. So one could say everything is originating from Krishna, from Goloka Vrindavan. Then the question arises, then but Krishna doesn't distribute this so freely. By his nature, he hurts. You know, he doesn't want to just give devotion service. So one of the nature of devotion service, bhakti, is sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means it is rare to achieve. It is very rare to achieve. So why should Krishna just give away devotion service? He doesn't. Because he knows that if he just give away, then he becomes controlled by that devotees. So he doesn't want to just give away. However, Krishna's devotees are merciful. So they are ready to give away. And as it is epitomized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is, as a devotee, he didn't give away devotion service as Krishna, but as his devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually wanted to give. And for us, it is coming from the heart of a pure devotee who is Srila Prabhupada. So we can see that is realization. That realization, the devotees presented in Srimad Bhagavatam are revealing. So how much valuable it is. It is difficult for us to actually, if we have a secret, we consider the secrets of our personal life as the most secret information, which is actually nothing. We think, oh, you know, I have this secret, you know, it's my personal thing. I can't tell to anyone. It is such a valuable thing that I can't reveal to anyone. This is what happens when devotees have problems. And if devotees do not have nice association of other devotees, or when devotees are not willing to take help from other devotees, they don't want to reveal their mind. That is one of the serious problems, and that can cause fall down of devotees. If we don't have friends in Krishna consciousness to whom we can share our problems, then we are prone to fall down. But if we reveal, then we are saved. So revealing our heart is very important. Guhyam akhyadi prachati, Nectar of Instruction says. So guhyam akhyadi prachati, we are ready to reveal our heart. So here, when a pure devotee sees what is in his heart, naturally it is Krishna. The Bhagavatam says, Hriddhi avaridhyate, that is, the Lord is captured within the heart by the oral reception of activities of the Lord. So they have Krishna in their heart and they know that that is the most valuable thing, but they are ready to reveal those secrets to us out of compassion for suffering people like us. So this is very valuable aspect of devotion service. It is very valuable aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami presents in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the beginning verses, he quotes one beautiful verse from Sri Rupa Goswami. The last line is, Sada Hridayakantare Spurituva Sachinandana. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Mother Sachi, be transcendently situated in the inner chambers of my heart. So here is a very important phrase, Hridaya Kandare, in the inner chambers of my heart. So this is the prayer of a devotee. That is, we want the Lord to be present within the core, within the inner chambers of our heart. It is just like in the Vedic construction, in the Vedic architecture. If you see houses, you know, there is lounge, you know, there is the working area, and the inner chambers are really inside. There is no direct access, just like that for a palace. The ladies, the queens, they have their inner chambers. So in the same way, we have our external things. We have our mind, which is just coming out in our mouth, you know. Just the replica of our mind is coming in the mouth. If the mind is not controlled, if the tongue is not controlled. But if we actually look deep in our heart, there are different chambers. We can go inside, see what is that in the innermost chamber of our heart. What is that our core, the core desires. So that desire should be Krishna conscious. So that is the prayer of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami as quoted from a verse of Srila Rupa Goswami. So that is our prayer. That is in the innermost heart, we need Krishna. We need devotion. So we had to pray for that. Now, here, there is a very interesting point again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu wanted to reveal the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami. In fact, Rupa Goswami, he got the access to the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami got access to the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he revealed the inner moods of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Jagannath Puri, even Mahaprabhu wanted to glorify Rupa Goswami and he wanted to present the verses which are written by Sri Rupa Goswami. So the verse glorifying the holy name, Mahaprabhu read out in front of the assembly of devotees. And at one point, he read out this verse in front of Haridas Thakur. Then Haridas Thakur mentioned that it is impossible to know the glories of the Lord. It is impossible to know the glories of the names of the Supreme Lord unless and until we hear from a realized devotee. So this is very important point. So if you want any access to devotion service, we want to hear from the realizations of a pure devotee. And Srimad Bhagavatam is very easily giving access to that. And that too by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada said Bhagavatam purports are his devotional ecstasies. So in one sense, we are able to understand these devotional principles without much difficulty by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. It was mentioned that people might think that actually Bhagavatam is very easy to understand. It's not. Actually, devotional service is not so easy to understand. But Srila Prabhupada is an expert teacher, so he is presenting in such a way that we can understand easily. It's not such a great difficulty to understand the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So here, in this particular section, what realization is revealed by the sages of Naimisharanya? Can anyone tell? What is the essence of the realization? What can we see? There are many, but one core thing that can we see here.
Sages wanting to hear from Lord.
Exactly. They want to hear about Krishna, his name, form, qualities and activities from Suta Goswami. And they just don't want to just listen. They have so much of attraction for them. So this is very much inspiring for us. They have so much of attraction for the activities of the Lord. So their attraction is revealed even in the first canto, even in the first chapter. Vayam tu na vipariyama uttama shloka vikrame yachrunada amrita gyanam swadu swadu pade pade. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. So here, see, actually, we can see they have realized their realization with Krishna. Their relation with Krishna. So, because of that relation, because of that love, they are never tired of hearing about Krishna, which we often experience, right? We get tired. Oh, it's enough. The lecture is going too long. Chanting, when will I finish my rounds? You know, just 5 more to finish. four more to finish, three more to finish, two more to finish. You know, we just count, not necessarily externally, but within the mind. Or five to go, or 12 more, or 16 more. Like that, you know, our mood is affected by how many rounds are left. So this is not actually established relation with Krishna. But this is, we are still in the anartha nirvuti. We have still anarthas, we are fighting between these two things. On one side, there is some attraction for Krishna's names. And on the other side, there is a strong attraction for Maya. So there is a back and forth fight. This is just like, I remember the example of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explaining. We have two, Maharaj is giving this example that we have two dogs in our heart. One is a good dog representing our good things, representing our attraction for Krishna. And other one is bad dog, which is representing Maya, all the anarthas and everything. So the question is, who will win? And both are fighting. Who will win?
Bad.
Bad. Do we want to be pessimistic? So the answer is right. The bad one can also win, or the good one can also win, depending on whom we feed. That's all. The answer is simple. Either can win, but depending on whom we feed. So if you want to feed our Krishna conscious activities, then we can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, we have material world. That's all. So this is the difference. Now, after having said, in the purport, there is a very important point. Srimad Bhagavatam is para or supreme. Because even though there is knowledge and religion are presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a specific mention about devotion service. The Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically intended to give devotion service or bhakti. So Bhagavatam is known as para. Para means completely transcendental. Why? Because if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, apparently looks like there are different subjects and they have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Or very, very vaguely connected. But the fact is, even though there are many, many aspects in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a connection to Krishna consciousness. There is a connection to bhakti. One boy recently asked me this question. In Bhagavad Gita, if bhakti is the ultimate, and bhakti is that we need, and that is the only thing that we need, then in Bhagavad Gita, why there are different yoga systems? Why there is Gyan? Why there is Ashtanga? Why there is Karma? And there are Mishra yogas. Why all these things are presented in Bhagavad Gita if bhakti is that the only thing that we need? Similarly, even in Srimad Bhagavatam, same thing could be asked. You know, why other things are presented in Srimad Bhagavatam? Gyan is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. So why all these things are presented when bhakti is the only thing which is required? So the answer is, everything is leading to bhakti. And everything is in connection to bhakti. There is nothing in Srimad Bhagavatam which is not in connection to bhakti. So in one sense, when there is mystic yoga, ashtanga yoga or jnana yoga presented in 11th canto, they are connecting to bhakti. It is leading to bhakti and then establishing that bhakti is the supreme process. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, by the end of 6th chapter, it is concluded that the supreme process is bhakti. Yogi naam api sarvesha madgadir antaratmanaha shraddhavan bhajate yoma samaya yukta tamomataha. Yukta tamaha, one who is completely attached, completely connected, most perfectly connected to me, is a bhakti yogi. So that is the conclusion of the 6th chapter after presenting different yoga ladder. Now here, to give a comparison, to lead up to bhakti, other paths are mentioned in Bhagavatam also. Krishna himself in Uddhava Gita. Gyan is presented, Ashtanga is presented, but everything is leading to bhakti and concludes that bhakti is the supreme. So we cannot say that you know, there are different subject matters, but everything is leading to bhakti. And a pure devotee can see that. So when we read Srila Prabhupada's purport, we can see bhakti in all purports. We can see bhakti in all Bhagavad Gita purports. And when we talk about even material creation in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is also in full connection to Krishna. Because there we see who is doing the creation, secondary creation, that is Brahma, who is a pure devotee. And it's showing the aspect of endeavor and mercy. He performed his endeavor in the form of tapa. Because when he came out, it was just darkness and he didn't know what to do. So he did perform tapa. And the Lord reciprocated. He reciprocated so much so that not that he just got the ability to do secondary creation, but Lord Brahma got the vision of the spiritual world. Both Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan. So we can see the sweet exchange between the Lord and his devotee. So wherever we pick, whatever aspects of Srimad Bhagavatam we pick, we can see bhakti in it. Continuing on this aspect of bhakti, bhakti as such is a very mystical process. It's a bhakti mysticism. It's not so easy in one sense to understand bhakti. It's very mystical. Because if we see bhakti, just by the process of bhakti, the knot in our heart, the knot of material attachment becomes slackened and it is destroyed completely. This, we have some realization on this point. Think about ourselves. Everyone has our own realization where we had strong attraction for certain material things and it got slackened, if not completely removed. Just chanting Hare Krishna, having prasadam, associating with the devotees, reading Bhagavatam, etc. Just over a time period of engagement, devotional service, we have our own realization. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. We can see that. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Whatever is not good for our devotional service are removed. Gradually, we have our own experience. This is mystical. Think about our own chanting. Few years back, maybe 5 years back, how we chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and now how are we chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Who can see a difference? I can see a difference, at least. Everyone must see a difference. Otherwise, there is something wrong in the application of the process. There is difference. We have experience. We are chanting the same mantra, but over the period, we can see there is some difference. It is at least a bit better than before. So this is the mystical aspect of bhakti. Just the repetitive process apparently brings in some taste, some attraction. How about the reciprocation of the deities of the Lord? According to the material eyes, it is impossible to understand what is reciprocation of the deities. We can think about ourselves. We had some difficulties in Krishna consciousness and we approached Krishna and we prayed to the deities and they removed those obstacles. Who have this practical realization? We all must have this realization at least one time or many times actually. We approach the Lord and we request them and they do reciprocate. This is mystical again. This is mysticism of bhakti. Materially we cannot understand. We are seeing the same Lord every day, correct? Same Radha Vallabha we are seeing. We are seeing same Gauranithai. We are seeing same Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. And pretty much the dresses are also repeating. We don't have unlimited dresses for the Lord. You know, over a period of time you can remember, okay, this dress, you know, we get an idea, okay, how they look in one sense. But as the time progresses, we can see the Lord, we have more appreciation for the beauty of the Lord. When we see the Lord for the first time, maybe quite a few years back, when we first came to Krishna consciousness, and when we see now, we can see there's more beauty added to the Lord. Actually, the Lord is all attractive, he's all beautiful. But as our consciousness gets cleared, as it gets purified, we can see more beauty in the Lord. He's always beautiful. Krishna is all attractive, he's all beautiful. But as we purify, we can appreciate Krishna's beauty more and more. Parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. Because actually he doesn't need any ornaments. He is the ornament of his ornaments. So that is parampadam bhushana bhushanangam. So he's so beautiful, but to realize that we have to go through the process of devotional service and we have to purify. And similarly, Krishna is intervening in our life in so many ways, and we don't even realize that Krishna's intervention is there in our life. That is a very important point. We think, you know, the life is going on, the devotional life is going okay, there are some problems, you know, everything is getting sorted out, it is going on. But the point is, Krishna is personally intervening in a devotee's life. So this is again mystical. Now here, the sages are presenting their attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's mentioned it is very dear to the devotees. So we take a couple of examples to elaborate this point. One is regarding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how much he loved Srimad Bhagavatam. He saw Krishna in every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, the tears were flowing from his eyes by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam for him. And that was Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit. His appearance or disappearance passed very recently. Last Friday. So Gadadhar Pandit used to read Srimad Bhagavatam for the pleasure of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Tota Gopinath temple. Because he took Kshetra Sannyas and he was living in Tota Gopinath's temple, worshipping Tota Gopinath, such a beautiful deity. If we haven't seen in Jagannath Puri this deity, one of the most beautiful deities of Krishna. Very beautiful. Yes, he's sitting there. In fact, my father, he's not a devotee, you know, he's favorable, but he's not a devotee. But we went to Jagannath Puri, to Tota Gopinath temple, and we saw the deity. You know, it's a small temple. We saw the deity, and my father was completely surprised, and he was completely happy to see the deity. He said, "So beautiful! Look at the eyes, so beautiful!" And then after a few years, maybe after 5 years, I spoke about Jagannath Puri. You remember we went to Jagannath Puri 5 years back, not five, maybe 7 years back. So. And I thought, "Do you remember Tota Gopinath?" He said, "No, I don't remember." I said, "Do you remember a deity with the beautiful eyes?" Then immediately he says, "Yes, I remember that. It was so beautiful." So that is the potency of the deities. So Gadadhar Pandit was reading Srimad Bhagavatam in Tota Gopinath Mandir, and Mahaprabhu was listening. And Gadadhar Pandit, he went to ecstasy, and the tears were flowing from his eyes that in due course of time, they had to discard one Srimad Bhagavatam. It was not at all useful anymore. It doesn't mean they threw it. Why? Because of the tears flowing from the eyes of Gadadhar Pandit. So all the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam were wet, smeared with tears. So this is bhakti, this is pure devotion. So much dear, so that's the reason it's mentioned, that Srimad Bhagavatam is so dear to devotees. So we can see all great devotees, they have so much of attachment for Srimad Bhagavatam. And if we say we don't have any attachment for Srimad Bhagavatam, and if someone says, "You know, I don't like Bhagavatam, I don't like reading Srimad Bhagavatam," then it means only one thing. Point number one, the sadhana must be very weak, in terms of chanting must be very weak. Second, if chanting is okay, then the problem is there is no endeavor in terms of reading Srimad Bhagavatam on a daily basis. If these two things are there, if there is sadhana in terms of chanting and some service, and if one is endeavoring to read Srimad Bhagavatam, then naturally taste will come to the heart. It is guaranteed. If that's not happening, there is a missing link is there. Something is not done properly. Because for a jiva, as one gets purified, has to develop attraction from Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is non-different from Krishna. And as a final point, Srimad Bhagavatam also presents different material energies and their connection to Krishna. So there are many, many instances in which that connection is shown. And one particular instance that I would mention is Srila Vyasadeva's realization. Because Srila Vyasadeva got instructed on Srimad Bhagavatam by Narada Muni. And after that, he meditated on his instructions. He meditated on the absolute truth, and he got the realization of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is a very important point for us to understand, because in the parampara, the spiritual masters are realized. Narada Muni is a realized soul. And Vyasadeva, he was in the understanding of Brahman, before God, before he being instructed by Narada Muni, he got the complete realization after the instruction and applying those instructions in the form of meditation in that process. So it's mentioned, the Vyasadeva, what was his realization? It's mentioned, Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Male Apashyat Purusham Purnam Maya Chatat Apariyam. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, Bhakti Yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the Supreme, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, along with his external energy, which was under full control. So Purusham Purnam Maya Yat Apashrayam. So it's very important that he had the realization of Krishna, and also he had the realization of all the material energy, but under the full control of the Lord. So realization of Krishna means it includes all different energies, different aspects of Krishna also. So why this point is very important? Because since everything has connection to Krishna, all the energies of Krishna which we can perceive, including the matter, including different varieties of matter, including the jiva, including different expansion, these are different energies of the Lord. And when we understand this connection between the Lord and his energies, then there is a possibility of using his energies in service of Krishna. So as far as one cannot see this connection, there is no possibility of engaging Krishna's energy in service of Krishna. So the principle of Yukta Vairagya is based on this principle. That is based on seeing everything in connection to Krishna. So Rupa Goswami, who is a pure devotee, who is a realized soul, who could see all material energy in connection to Krishna. So he says, okay, use everything in service of Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. So one has to be detached from the matter, but it can be used in service of Krishna. So our acharyas in our line, like Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Prabhupada, very practically used this principle. For instance, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to make the point, he used to wear big long jacket, big coat. He used to wear dhoti kurta, and over on top he used very high quality coat on top. And he used to drive car. He drove car and he went to Vrindavan. And he was heavily criticized by other Babajis. But Srila Prabhupada was, Bhaktisiddhanta was setting a standard of Yukta Vairagya. So that in future, in that time as well as in the future, Krishna consciousness could be spread all over the world. He was setting the scene for spreading of Krishna consciousness. And so in that footstep, Srila Prabhupada applied the principle of Yukta Vairagya in various forms, which you know other gurus haven't. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Or corrections. Yeah.
In another passage speaking about being a servant and master, could you please speak more on how we should feel ourselves being servants at the moment of our life?
The question is, can we elaborate on the principle of being a servant and our tendency to be a master? This principle becomes very visible when we see our propensity to enjoy a service or a facility that is provided by a service. So if we perform any devotional service, we have to see we are the servants of Krishna, any service. So this is applicable to, you know, while I am speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important point. If you think, you know, our duty is to just to instruct. If I am speaking Bhagavatam, if I think, you know, my duty is to, everyone is in Maya, now I have to instruct everyone. I am in a superior position, so I have to instruct everyone. If that is the consciousness, then what does that mean? I am thinking I am a master. I am not a servant. So whatever we do in Krishna consciousness, it is to remember that we are Krishna's servants, and we are talking, instructing, or if we are telling something, it is just to help the other person to connect to Krishna, to step, take a step towards Krishna. So this has to be the mode. When we are preaching, when we are distributing books, same thing, we are trying to serve. Even they are fallen souls, we are also fallen, we are just trying to pick ourselves up, but we are trying to help them, to make them remember about Krishna. So we are just trying to serve. We are not trying to be the master, we are not trying to enjoy the situation. If we try to enjoy the situation, means we are trying to be the master. This is like, you know, if you distribute books, yeah, look, you know, very nice, you know, I have distributed so many books. I am a big distributor. Now I can distribute books to anyone. You know, if this kind of thing, we don't say that, but I am saying, when it comes to the mind, then we have to understand we are actually deviating from the actual principle. Now I can worship the deity so nicely. I am the best pujari. I am the best dresser. I am the best cook. You know, this kind of, I'm not saying we go and advertise this kind of thing, but when we see these kind of thoughts coming to our mind, then we understand, yes, these are tendencies pushing us to the master side instead of being a servant. So we can see, we have to see our own consciousness and we have to take the requisite steps. Is that?
A good couple of points. When you're telling about Bhagavad Gita, last year I was in USA and my own uncle, he was asking me that Bhagavad Gita, why there is bhakti all the time? So I explained the same thing. Because there is the topmost and everything is free to bhakti. And Bhagavad Gita emphasizing that so greatly. Because in the pure bhakta, coming from his heart. So he's revealing the secret. What you said, mentioned. Second point is that when somebody is serving, like an example, Srila Prabhupada, a disciple, Bhavanand Swami, so he expressed to Srila Prabhupada that I have got some problems in my life, how do I solve them all? So Srila Prabhupada said, don't worry, just carry on with me, preaching and chanting, and Krishna will remove all the dirty things in your life. And those happen. So it's most important that we have to hear from the pure devotee heart, as you said, the inner chambers hear about Krishna, and he is everything we need. So that's the only way we can progress and advance in each other.
Answering Ramachandraji about trying to enjoy the service, where do you draw the line between, obviously it's, I'm not trying to suffer while doing the service, so like how, but I also try not to be the master, so how can you be in the position of a servant but at the same time not martyr?
If you are in the servant consciousness, naturally we enjoy the service. There is a difference between enjoying the service that I mentioned in the first place, where we are trying to be the master, and that kind of enjoyment, and enjoyment that naturally follows the service. We are happy. It's not that we are going to cry while, okay, of course, devotee is not in the right consciousness, devotees cry while doing service. That is the, you know, oh, I don't want to do this, you know, why do I have to do the service? I have this, that, the other thing. I don't want to do this. So that is crying is there. The suffering is there. That is in the ignorance. When one is performing service, yes, of course, there is a suffering devotion service. Even though it is not mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, it only says, susukham kartum avayam. But because of our consciousness, we have this suffering service. I'm not recommending that. But if we just do service in the right consciousness, as a servant, we are trying to please Krishna, we are trying to please devotees. If we just do that service in that mood, enjoyment in the form of devotional happiness will follow. So that's all. But if you try to have other motivations, and if you try to enjoy being a controller, even in the service, you know, because you do this because I am saying, or you know, it has to be done because I am saying, in that way, that is the mood, same thing. It has to be cleaned in this way because I am saying this. It has to be cooked in this way because, you know, that's what I want. not seeing the real objective, then we are trying to be the master, and naturally there will be suffering, even though it looks like the enjoying, you know, being a controller, but that results in suffering because we don't get Krishna's reciprocation. So, okay, is that clear? Yes.
I have one more point. We were discussing last night the issue of Guru. Bhaktivedanta, Mother Yuna there too. So she probably was telling us how the women came into the movement. It's gone. Because at one night, Lord of Mataji went to Srila Prabhupada's room and told them that, Srila Prabhupada, you are making disciples only men. And why you are leaving women? From tomorrow we are not going to see you at all. So when the women told that, next day Prabhupada in the morning said, I am going to initiate women also, and we have women ashram, Mataji ashram. So that's how it has started, that initially, because nobody was initiating, second initiation actually, they were not giving the women. But Prabhupada said, I have to spread the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so I have to include women. So that's how all the women were involved. See.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alex. Hey, one more question.
Then once the Bhagavad Gita, yesterday I was asking you, it's a matter to engage in activity which is of the nature. It is not for long.
Yes.
Very expert. And it has many faults. And other way around as well. Maybe if you perform perfectly, but if it is not of your nature, then it's not good. So it seems like your expert is in certain activity, doesn't have connection with your nature.
What expertise do not have connection with the nature?
Yeah, exactly. Because Krishna says, no, even if you are expert in certain activity, but if it is not of your nature, it's not that good. So, can we say that, you know,
so what is the question?
How can we find our real nature? You know? One way is seeing that, you know, if someone is very expert in doing something, then, you know, someone can let them know your nature is such and such, you know.
Okay. In our devotional line, it is generally we hear that, you know, we take service according to our nature. You know, generally, that's what we hear. The Bhagavad Gita says. But at the same time, it is not always the case. If there is a need, one may have to do anything to please Krishna. It doesn't matter whether it is of one's nature or not. Say, for example, so I'm not saying, you know, we cannot just draw a line. It is not my nature, so I can't do the service. Krishna doesn't say like that. Say the example of Brahmana in Srirangam. He didn't even know to read or write. It was not at all in his nature. He was illiterate. But his guru, even after knowing that he is illiterate, asked him to read Bhagavad Gita every day. And he was trying to read Bhagavad Gita every day. So was it actually according to his nature? No, guru knew, he's not. But still, guru gave an activity to purify him. So, when it comes to service, yes, we do take care of nature and the corresponding services. We do that generally. But at the same time, when there is a need to please Krishna, one may do practically anything. So we cannot go to these two extremes. That is, one is, you know, I just do only of my nature, otherwise I don't do anything. And on the other side, that is the one extreme, otherwise I don't do it. Or on the other side, we had to do anything to please Krishna, so we don't take care of our nature at all. It's just random. Ten devotees are there and I have, five services, so it doesn't matter who does what. So that is not taking care of nature at all. So it's a combination of both. Ultimately, whatever is nature is taken care or not, ultimately all has to be meant for pleasure of Krishna. So we had to understand the two sides. It's not just one-sided. Say, for example, Srila Prabhupada engaged practically all devotees in distributing books. If you see the beginning of this movement, everyone was practically engaged in book distribution, preaching, that's it. That was the only thing. Very few were left behind in the temple to do deity worship and some cooking, and rest were all just distributing books, whether it was their nature or not. Many people it wasn't their nature. But to spread the movement, had to do that. Then in due course we can see, different devotees having different talents. They manifested their talents in due course of time. I was thinking this moment when Vyasaki Prabhu was giving a lecture, because he mentioned, he was in the library party and he was just traveling and he was preaching all the time. Vyasaki Prabhu. He was not singing. Yes, of course, in the temple he would lead kirtan, but that wasn't his main service, that is singing and going around. His service was not even doing Harinam all the time. No, he was a great singer. But he was in the library party and he was giving accounts of his travel, going different places in India, to different parts of Asia, like that. So then, in due course of time, Krishna brought to the forefront his talent. I was just thinking, when he was giving a lecture, I was thinking, look, how things got transformed. So that time Srila Prabhupada wanted book distribution and he just engaged everyone. So we had to see two sides. Both. We cannot be fanatical about one side.
About Vaisakhi, he told us that he was interested in eating the Indian food.
Okay.
When they came in, he invited him and he was also addicted to it. Then he started eating.
Okay, thank you very much. Granthara Ashrima Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, it's our Gautam.